This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
So I have a theory. That's Jared Allen, by the way. I have a theory about all this. And it kind of goes with what the Vaughn and Parma just said. Happy birthday to Vaughn, by the way. There's a lot of people just disagree with Vaughn or whatever. But Corey on Twitter knocked it out of the park. I was thinking this is that entire call and what you had just said right before we had taken Vaughn there. The psychology behind this is two out of three teams. And if you're a grown adult, 30 plus, right? You're calling into sports talk radio on a Monday after the Cavs won on Saturday, and in a convincing fashion, they were great. It's not enough for you because of what you've already seen in your lifetime. Like, there are guys who call us who anything the Browns do, anything they do is not enough. Those are men who are 60 plus years old. 50, 60 plus year old men. Anything they do is not enough. Because they were adults, they were taxpayers in the 1980s when the Browns went to 3 FC championship games, when people went into Old Municipal Stadium and you just felt like you were going to win every single Sunday instead of hoping to win every single Sunday. For guys my age and your age, Anthony, when it comes to like the Guardians, it's I grew up, I went to games at the old stadium, but obviously I went to a lot more at the new stadium as a kid. And you get used to that and you think that that's the standard. Instead of, like, a guy like Les Levine would always tell you, like, it was never that great. Like, you go back to 10 Cent Beer Night. Like, they were thinking about moving the team. That's why they were having these type of things. Like, the attendance was never great. It was always scary. Baseball in Cleveland, while there's definitely people who care about baseball and love baseball, it was always touch and go whether or not the team was going to be here. Basketball, you and I grew up with LeBron James. Some of us do remember the 90s Cavs. Some of us remember the old 80s Cavs, but they didn't do anything compared to what LeBron James was able to do with the Cavs in his two separate times here. So that becomes a standard. So when I see a lineup of baseball players that arguably half of them are Hall of Famers, and then I see a lineup of basketball where LeBron's the greatest player of the generation, arguably the greatest player to ever live, how's that going to set the standard? So if you call in and you're whooping it up over a game one over Orlando, there are definitely going to be people who fart on it. But I've never seen the Browns consciously be sensational year in and year out. So yeah, when they win a game that they're supposed to win and they might clunk it together, yeah, we tend to be a little bit overexcited and then we get mad with people when they hold them to a higher standard. There's a psychology to it.
Yeah, I mean, this Cavs team has won one playoff game before this year in the post-LeBron rebuild. So I do understand, like, that building. Some people were comparing the building to the LeBron years, and they were like, it wasn't nearly as loud. It's like, yeah, I mean, this is not the LeBron years. This is not that. Now, Donovan Mitchell's out there maybe not playing like LeBron, but, like, the closest thing you can come to that for somebody in his package. Like, he had command of that game. At no point did I think Donovan Mitchell was going to let them lose that game. You could tell the passion, the intensity that Donovan Mitchell had out there. And then it's like, all right, Evan, Darius, you guys are the young ones. Come along for the ride. Like, let's go. At some point, Donovan is not going to have it. You guys need to be the ones to step up. That was not the game for that. They didn't really need those guys to step up all that much. And we'll see about game two tonight because yeah. I imagine Donovan Mitchell is going to have increased attention here in game two. They are not going to allow Donovan Mitchell, or as best they can, they are not going to allow Donovan Mitchell to set the tone the way he did in game one.
Yeah, and also I think that they might feel the same way the Cavs do. And this is the conversation that we've been having about Donovan Mitchell that we've said a few times here, and it's going to eventually come to a crescendo after this season of, I think a lot of fans acted in a way the first time when he left, the second time to bring him back, where they're just not going to do that for any other player. They knew how powerful LeBron is. They're not going to treat Donovan Mitchell the same way they did with LeBron. They're not going to treat the Cavs the same way they did when they had LeBron. And the organization isn't going to do the same thing. Like, I think a lot of people are feeling, I think some people are trying to save their own emotions here, and they're not going to get that emotional like they did with LeBron, so they're going to save their own feelings and not buy fully in because of what possibly could happen in the offseason. They're not going to do that. So I do think that there's a little bit more, you got to prove it to me a little bit more before we do that. 30 points in game one against Orlando when it comes to Donovan, when it comes to the type of toughness that they showed, I think that that does go a long way. I thought the Cavs were very tough on Saturday. I love the way that they played on Saturday.
I don't think that was even a question. I think 5 minutes into that game, you could see the physicality was not going to be, you know, a huge impediment in this game the way it was last year in that series. I think that's a growth. That's growth over the course of a year. And people were looking for growth. I think you saw it there.
216-474-0092. Let me get to Ryan in Painesville. You're first up on the Fan. Hello, Ryan.
Morning, gents. How you doing?
We're doing okay, Ryan. Go right on ahead.
First off, I just want to say I don't know how you guys don't do tall boys on any day that ends with a Y with some of the callers right now because...
Well, then I'd be a full-blown alcoholic. And I'm just not willing to admit things like that yet, Ryan.
I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to go head over heels with how the game was, but for people to say that there was nothing to draw from that... You know, we should beat the Magic. I mean, that's foolish. I mean, you look at Evan Mobley grew from last playoffs. He had a double-double. Jared Allen had a double-double. Evan Mobley stepped up in the first half when we needed him to. Darius Garland actually facilitated at point guard and fed Donovan Mitchell. And you posed the question before break on if we were physical. Of course we were. I mean, we had two techs, but we had less personal fouls. So that's the correct physicality. You know, you're being physical without drawing stupid calls. My biggest concern is, you know, and actually really quick, we go, you know, Caris LeVert, what, had 5, 6, 7 points, which is, you know, not great off the bench, but he provided a spark when they needed it. When, you know, they have to, you know, last out the Magic's runs. You know, he did a great job pushing the ball and did a great job with the finish on that when he was going up the right hand, finished with the left hand through the foul. You know, that's what his job's to do. So there was so much growth from the support cast as well as, you know, the starters. And then on top of that, you know, my biggest concern is Max Strus was, I mean, what did he have, Anthony? 6, 7 turnovers? You know, that.
He had 5 altogether, but I got the box score right in front of me, Ryan. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
He had another one. In fact, the play of the day from Donovan Mitchell was off what was almost another Max Strus turnover there in the first half when he hurled it up from like 30 feet.
His own turnover. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, of that. I mean, the ball movement was great. It wasn't a perfect game, no. And we are supposed to beat the Magic, but you need to not put them down for when, you know, when they win games that they're supposed to. And you saw growth. You saw exponential growth from last series, and you could see the Magic's game plan was to come in physical just like the Knicks. The problem was the Cavs did it appropriately. They were physical, but they did it smart. And I'll take the text. I love the text. You know, that shows we're there not to be, a little bee. And, that's just my 2 cents. I mean, yeah.
The techs were odd. I agree with you, Ryan. Thank you very much for the call. I thought that the fouls that they committed were decent fouls. The techs were odd because I wasn't expecting and I was looking down taking notes. I did not see Isaac Okoro do it on purpose. Yeah. Afterwards, I'm like, all right, I guess you could try to.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Tee him up and say he was trying to escalate the situation, which is basically what the reasoning they were using for. I was like, I still thought it was a little bit tight.
But it's just a welcome to the playoffs moment too, though, which I love that they set the tone early. And, you know, you can go back to the regular season game. You know, these teams were in some physical regular season games where, you know, Mo Wagner was, you know, there were cheap shots there. The Cavs remembered that. JB clearly talked to his guys before that game and said, we are not going to let this team. You know, it was one thing to get pushed around last year by the Knicks. That was humiliating. We're not going to let it happen to this team. They're in their first playoff experience. We're going to do to them exactly what the Knicks did to us a year ago. That was important. Guys, if that didn't happen in game one, you know, I would have been here and I would have let them have it. I would have, even if we would have won and still got pushed around, I would have been furious. You could not let that happen at home. They didn't. I think they deserve some credit. I think they earned some credit for doing that in game one. They had to set the tone, and the Magic are sent scrambling. I think the Magic, it was a welcome to the playoffs moment for the Orlando Magic.
Yeah. 216-474-0092. I want to get back to the series coming up here in a bit. Also, Lima likes the Browns could be headed to London. We'll hear more of that coming up at 745. I have not been a fan of a player that I have not met in quite a long time. Can I define being a fan of a player? Like, there's a lot. I'm a fan of fans, and I'm a fan of the teams because of fans. And there are players that you and I have met over our travels here in Cleveland over the last decade, well, 12 years now that the fans have been on, where, yeah, like, I personally, I want that guy to do well. Like, it's no secret. You and I both like Myles Garrett. We both like Myles on a personal level. We want Myles to do well. I'm a fan of Myles because of that. Myles is a good dude, okay? There's guys that we get along with and we want them to do well. Joe, on the other hand, exactly the same thing. Not the other hand, but in the same vein, I should say. Same way it was with Joe. I've never met Josh Naylor. I don't know if I've ever been in the same room with Josh Naylor. Actually, I'm pretty positive I haven't. I love Josh Naylor, and I'm watching this over this weekend. I have not felt this way about a player I've never met since probably Albert Bell. I have not. It feels weird to admit this.
That's over Jose and everything Jose's done.
I am almost 11 years older than he is. Yeah, I have a great deal of respect for Jose, but it's always like, and when him taking the discount and everything, it's always, hey, I'm a fan of the team and I want the players to do well. That doesn't mean I have anything against Jose, but it's like you're there. I'm in my role. I'm older than you. It's different there. Does that make any, do I have to explain that a little bit better to you? Like, I like Jose, and there's tons of respect for Jose Ramirez. I have a ton of respect for a lot of players. Just because I might not be a quote-unquote fan doesn't mean I don't have respect for you. I have a ton of respect for him. We've met Stephen Vogt. I want Stephen Vogt to do well. I also have a lot of respect for him. But I look at Josh, and I'm like, I don't know what it is. I've never met the guy. He seems dangerous. He seems like dangerous fun. He is playing exceedingly well this year.
He's just getting better and better.
And I will tell you right now, if they cannot work out an extension with him, I'm actually going to be heartbroken. I've called him the most entertaining player in baseball before because he's been entertaining. I didn't say he was the best, but now he's playing to this obscene level, and I'm going, already people are wanting to hand out the collection plates, and I'm going, man, this is where David Blitzer, if you want to make a splash as a minority investment guy, like, this is where you can do it. I gotta ask that you can yell at the Dolans, and you should. They're the owners of the baseball team. But I'm going, David Blitzer, I gotta see your impact. Because I gotta have this guy around. Well, to have this guy around, or I'm gonna be crestfallen if he has to go somewhere else.
He's got 1 year left of arbitration eligible.
Yes.
And you know, I've been texting around the people that know this stuff, and certainly the way the Dolans operate way better than I do, even though we all kind of understand the patterns. Like, if they don't get him extended by this offseason, they're going to trade him, right? I mean, they're not going to just play this out with 1 year left. So I'm with you, Kenny. Like, I don't know. I know that they've got Manzardo is the guy that's going to come up and play first. And I said, why not DH? Why can't he just DH then? Like, you can't afford to. This guy's become such a fan favorite.
Put Josh
but he's
Naylor,
also getting better and better and better and better.
I could put Josh Naylor in a different spot. Do I have to play Laureano out in right field? Can I put Josh Naylor out? I'm serious. Can I put Josh Naylor out there? Josh Naylor is here. Well, he has to stay in this lineup.
He has played out there. That's where he got hurt at, was in right field.
Yeah,
right?
I understand
he's
that.
He's played out there before.
But Floreal's the guy who goes for Manzardo.
I don't know that he's an everyday outfielder, though. You probably rotate him around.
No, I don't think so. Like, you want to find a spot for him eventually, and I think
his everyday spot is first.
You're
base,
a young team. He's 26 years old. You keep preaching how young you are. if you get rid of this guy, then I have to question tactics of what the hell are we doing here? You have Jose Ramirez, who took a massive discount for you. This guy is hitting well enough to be in the slot. I can make the same argument for Stephen Kwan all day long, by the way. I'm not making it for him right now. At Josh Naylor, I've never felt emotionally connected to a player I've never met in my entire life. And I was 10 years old when this guy was born, and it is weird to admit. I love Josh Naylor.
I get the same thing. I get the respect for Jose, but when Naylor comes up, I just naturally find myself smiling like,
yes,
oh, we're good here. Like, I know not only is when Jose comes up to the plate, I feel confident that he's going to make something happen. When Naylor comes to the plate, I'm confident now because of the way he's been hitting over the last year plus that he's going to make something happen. But also, there's going to be fireworks.
I am in my kitchen fist pumping loud. He came up Saturday. Oh, and you know this. Hit a ball about as hard as you could.
Well, then hit his head.
Yes. Well, hit that bat before that. Hit a ball about as hard as you could without it going out of the park. Next at bat, it's like he got rewarded. He deserves it. Hits the home run, hits his head with the bat, does the whole thing. And then yesterday, it's a 3-2 game. I need someone to bust it wide open. Big moment for you. Hit a double over to right field, and you bring in three runs right there. I mean, we're going nuts. And I am at the point right now, if you don't bring this guy back, I'll be heartbroken. If you can't find a way to bring this guy with this team long term, I'm going to be absolutely heartbroken, and it will bleed in over the air. I can't deny myself.
Well, just think back to, you know, how far we've come to. Remember, this was a guy in a playoff series that had the entire New York Yankee organization and fan base, you know, laughing at him, making fun of him. And by the way, he came up
a wild ride,
you know, early in that series. He had some big moments in that series. But like, they had to apologize for that afterwards because of that. And then all the way now, a few years later, he is like a looks like a seasoned vet, playing like a seasoned vet, and then showing more emotion than any Indians/Guardians player I can remember in a long time. Like, that is a fan favorite. You're right. To get to this point where they have not been able to extend him or Kwan, you're like, boy, this is not somebody I have to worry about losing, right? You can't possibly lose a guy like this. That has fans on his side to this extent.
I have not been a fan of a player I have not met in over a decade. I feel like a kid again. If you can't extend this guy, I'm going to be absolutely heartbroken. I know it's a Cavs day. I just had to fit that in because I deserve to be fit in because he had a hell of a series this weekend. Coming up at 8 o'clock, the dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. Up next, the Browns could be headed back to London from what Lima reads. Does he like it or not? Slima likes next on The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.